Okay, I call this meeting of the Audits and Investigations Committee to order. Good morning. Our first order of business is to certify the executive session of this committee that was just held. I move that the Audits and Investigations Committee certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual members dissenting that at today's executive session of the Audits and Investigations Committee of October 13th, 2016, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under Board Bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the committee. Do I have a second? All right, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, the certification is passed. Next is the approval of the agenda. You have the agenda in front of you. If there are no objections, we'll consider the agenda approved as presented. Are there any objections? Okay, consider it approved. We have two sets of minutes, the September 8th public session and the September 8th executive session. I would like to move approval of both of these sessions. Okay, it's been seconded. All right, all those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Okay, now we move to the committee's business. The Audits and Investigations Committee is responsible for reviewing and accepting audit reports, including the authority's annual external audits. Today, the committee is being asked to accept the external audit deliverables from FY 2016. An audit of Metro's financial statements was conducted by RSM LLP for the period of July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016. RSM issued an unmodified opinion. Additionally, they also conducted a single audit for the same period and also issued an unmodified opinion. Before I turn the floor over to Inspector General, I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate the IG and her staff, as well as Mr. Aniseke, Metro's Chief Financial Officer, and his staff on the timely completion of this year's audit. The FY16 financial audit reflects significant progress from FY14 and FY15 audits. First, the audit is completed on time, which will enable Metro to comply with capital market obligations. Also importantly, the financial statement and single audit opinions are clean. In all, there were 6 findings, all of them repeat findings, compared to 15 findings last year and 26 findings for the previous year. I will now turn the floor over to Helen Liu, Metro's Inspector General and staff from RSM, to provide us with additional information. Ms. Liu?
Okay. Good morning, members of the Audit Investigation Committee. I'm pleased to report the completion of the fiscal year 2016 financial statement audit and the delivery of the audit deliverables. I'd like to now turn it over to Dan Bennett, who is the managing partner of RSM, and he will walk us through the results of the FY 2016 financial statement audit. Dan.
Thank you. I will flip through the slides here and get to, this is an overview of the things we'll talk about, just the status of the audit, summary of our findings, other reporting matters, and significant matters addressed during the audit. Those are the topics that we'll cover in the presentation. At this point, as noted, we have completed the audit of the June 30, 2015 financial statements. Audit was performed in accordance with general accepted auditing standards and general accepted government auditing standards, the latter being a requirement by virtue of the fact that Metro receives and expends significant federal dollars. Opinion on the financial statements is unmodified. Secondly, we performed a specific audit of the federally funded grant programs. Our opinion on the testing of the federal grant programs was unmodified. The federal programs that we tested, the major programs that we tested, were the Federal Transit Cluster, the Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act grant, and the Transportation Investments Generating Economic Recovery Grant. Those are the three major programs that we tested in the current year. There were some matters that were identified during the audit process, as noted in the introduction. There are two material weaknesses, three significant deficiencies, and one matter which represents both a significant deficiency and a finding of non-compliance. We'll talk about where those areas, what those areas were represented in just a second, but the important point to note is that there were no new findings identified in the current year. Each of these findings is a repeat from prior years. To provide the appropriate perspective, in the June 30, 2015 audit, there were 15 findings, five material weaknesses, five significant deficiencies, and five matters of non-compliance. As noted, of those 15, eight have been resolved. It says seven are repeated, but in the previous slide I said six. The difference is that one of these findings has been combined. The compliance issue went away, but the control matter still remains. So went from 15 to six. Those findings, the areas of findings, there's one material weakness related to fixed assets. That is really tied to longstanding system problems. Management has developed manual processes to work around some of these deficiencies in the system. There were still some matters that were identified, and anticipate that management has a corrective action plan in place, but this is one that will take some time to get resolved. Schedule of findings, schedule expenditures of federal awards, just in terms of recognizing amounts that are in the general ledger as compared to the amounts that are reported in the schedule expenditures. There was an issue there, resulted in reporting of a material weakness. There's a significant deficiency related to inventory management. This is a repeat finding, but in the prior year, management implemented a corrective action plan. That corrective action plan was effectively implemented at the central stores location, but in the outlying remote areas of inventory management, there were still some problems. Management has developed a corrective action plan for that as well. There's a significant deficiency related to journal entry reporting. This is an inherent issue, a system issue, where proper systemic controls in terms of approval processes are not in place. Management does have a workaround, and that workaround has been implemented, but it was not implemented until the end of the fiscal year. So during the year under audit, the condition still existed. The next matter relates to prevailing wage, as commonly referred to as the Davis-Bacon Act, and it's the requirement to obtain certifications from contractors doing business with Metro. In some cases that occurred, in other cases it didn't, which resulted in the reporting of both a significant deficiency and a matter of non-compliance. And the last issue is a significant deficiency related to the tracking of assets that are paid for with federally funded grants. There is a requirement of the federal government that those assets be separately and specifically tracked throughout the life of their use. There is a control in place, but it is far detached from the actual reporting in the general ledger, which does create some complications in the process. In addition to the matters previously noted, there will be a separate management letter, which we will issue before the board meeting, which just identifies other observations from the audit process which do not rise to the level of matters that are required to be reported to this committee. Generally matters of best practices, recommendations for improvement in control, but nothing that is considered to be a significant problem. In addition to the issuance of the financial statement, the opinion on the financial statement audit and the opinions that relate to the federal grant programs, there are three additional tasks that we are charged with. One of those is in process as we speak, and it's agreed upon procedures required to look at the information reported in the National Transit Database. The second is a reconciliation of expenses between the general ledger and reporting to other entities. That work will be performed sometime subsequent to the release of this report, probably before the end of November. And there's a final report which may or may not be necessary. If that is necessary, that work will be performed in December. Again, as mentioned, the audit was performed in accordance with both general accepted auditing standards and what's commonly referred to as the Yellow Book or general accepted government auditing standards. Under those standards, we're required to have these communications with you, and one of those is to talk about circumstances where management may have had options in terms of accounting treatment. And if management did have options, to identify what those options were, the direction management chose, and why. We can tell you that there were no such alternatives available in the 2016 reporting cycle. Significant or unusual events during the year, the Silver Spring Transit Center was transferred from Montgomery County to Metro. That was a transaction that required a fair amount of work on our part, and certainly out of the normal course of operations. During the current year, there was one change in the underlying standards for financial reporting. All it is a footnote disclosure which requires additional information with regard to reporting of fair value and how assets reported at fair value on the financial statements, the manner in which fair value was derived. Has no significant impact, just additional informational footnote disclosure. Management does have the ability to influence reporting results by virtue of the fact that there are a number of estimates embedded within the underlying financial statements. The significant estimates embedded in these financial statements relate to unearned revenue and specifically the timing of the recognition of revenue for pre-purchase Metro cards. In addition, there's a number of actuarially determined liabilities, one being pension, one being other post-employment benefits, and the third being self-employed liability, self-insured liabilities for workers' comp and general liability claims. When we look at those estimates, what we do specifically is focus on, has management been consistent in how they've applied their logic year over year and how they've applied the development of those estimates year over year? If we see management moving from one end of the scale one year to the other end of the scale in a following year, we will challenge if there's an underlying reason as to why that happened. If management has a significant change in an underlying, say, discount rate, we will then challenge, you know, what is driving management's decision to change. What I can tell you is that based on our analysis, there were no significant changes to management's underlying methodology and no outliers in terms of any of the discount rates or other assumptions that are applied in the calculation of these matters. There were no significant issues discussed with management prior to our retention as auditors. We're also not aware of any circumstances where management asked us a question about a technical matter, they didn't like our answer, and then tried to talk to somebody else to get a different answer. Both of the latter would be considered a form of opinion shopping, which we would be required to bring to your attention. There are no such matters identified. We received full cooperation from management during the audit process. We received full access to all information that we requested access to, all individuals that were required to speak to during the audit. There were no disagreements with management during the audit process. And there is a separate written communication between management and the auditors. In the audit process, there are certain inherent assumptions. One is that management is responsible for the preparation of the financial statements. Second is that management is responsible for developing and implementing effective internal controls. And then more broadly, management is responsible for letting us know everything we need to know in order to do our job. So at the end of the audit process, what we do is we ask management to formalize those assertions to us in the form of a letter under letterhead and the signature of management. That letter has been obtained. At the end of the day, we issue an opinion that says the financial statements are fairly stated in all material respects, which is to say that errors can occur in the financial statements, and still we can support a conclusion that the financials are fairly stated in all material respects. As part of our required communications, we have to talk to you about things that were identified in the audit process which were actually recorded, as well as things that were identified in the audit process that were not recorded. This first one is a recorded audit adjustment. So during the year, we identified some matters relating to the Silver Line, ongoing capital costs that were transferred over from EMWA. And this is simply a reclassification between a depreciable and non-depreciable category of assets. It's just a balance sheet reclass. This final slide is a summary of those adjustments that were identified as part of the audit process which were not recorded. The first line is effectively the reversing effect of matters identified in the prior year audit. So things that happened in a prior audit reverse. In this particular case, the sum value of those is $8.9 million. Has nothing to do with the current year. These are matters that are identified and carried over. The next three entries, one is just a reversing entry that was not recorded. Reversing entry being something that was identified in the prior year that should have reversed and did not. The second is an extrapolation of an error related to inventory counts at the remote inventory locations. That is the matter that's driving the underlying significant deficiency that was reported earlier. The third is an understatement of liability related to workers' compensation. This really relates to just a difference between actuarial viewpoints, the Metro's actuary and our actuary. The Metro's actuary takes a longer-term view in their calculation. Our actuary took a look at it and said, we understand and appreciate the use of this extended period of time. However, the trend of claims in more recent periods is higher, resulting in a difference of $6.3 million between our estimate and theirs, not a matter that we consider to be significant. And the last is a matter, again, tied to the issues of fixed assets, which is just the timing of the calculation of depreciation. And again, this is an underlying systemic issue that is tied to the comment that was addressed at the outset. That is the end of the formal communications. At this point, open it to the committee and to the public for any questions, thoughts, comments, or concerns.
Are there any questions or comments? Members of the committee?
Thank you. Audits can be fairly dry, and I guess unfortunately for me, over my career, I've been associated and dealt with audits for many, many years. For those of us who do this for a living, and I know you all know this, I am astounded at the turnaround over the last couple of years, and I hope that we are able to tell that story beyond reporting on the audit as we need to do it, which is kind of arcane and sometimes dry, sorry. But I really want to congratulate RSM and a really hearty congratulations to WMATA management, because this turnaround has just been astounding over the last couple of years. And the only thing I'd like to request for future committee meetings is a little bit more of a detail to understand of the material weaknesses and significant deficiencies that have been identified. If we can get a little bit of an idea of action plan and timing for when we might resolve those. And it should be far easier than prior years because there are far fewer. So that's really all. Thank you.
We can probably do an update at a future meeting. Anybody else have questions or comments? Okay. The committee is responsible for reviewing and accepting the reports. Since we have now reviewed the following reports, the audit of Metro's FY16 financial statements and the FY16 single audit, I move that the Audits and Investigations Committee accept the external audit reports for FY16 and the related materials. Is there a second? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. These reports are accepted and will be transmitted to the full Board of Directors. Okay, if there is no other business, we're adjourned.